Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF.
Thanks for joining us again this week on Help and Hope. My name is Andrew Ray, and I'm joined by
Cecilia Bernhardt
and Winston Smith.
And this week we're going to talk about mindfulness therapy. The question we received goes like this: how might biblical counseling view practices such as mindfulness meditation?
It's a great topic to talk about because in the last 5 to 10 years, it's just gotten really, really popular. Not just for counselors, but popular level kind of books, you know, that you get at the bookstore, just kind of for everybody. One of the reasons so popular is because it seems to be so effective. And anytime something's really effective that has nothing to do or can even seem contrary to biblical truth, I want to get inside of that and figure out what's going on. So, I mean, here, I'll give you some of my initial thoughts. First of all, for people who don't know what this whole thing about mindfulness is, I'll give you like a super short sort of overview. But mindfulness is really a sort of concentration technique for helping people focus on what is happening immediately in front of them. And it's typically offered to people who struggle with emotional volatility, whether it's anxiety or anger or depression or what have you. Any sort of emotional volatility, people will try to treat it with mindfulness. And mindfulness is kind of a package of skills, but basically it usually involves training people to kind of observe what's happening in front of them, put words to what's happening in front of them. Maybe it's just words that they're using in their mind, or maybe asking them to journal things, but putting words to what's happening in front of them and doing it in a non-judgmental way. So I'm going to kind of stay in this moment. I'm going to just start noticing the physical features of what's going on around me. I'm going to pay attention to how I'm feeling physically, feeling how I'm experiencing it emotionally, and in a sense, step outside of myself just a bit to observe and describe what's happening. And as I'm doing that describing, I want to be careful not to label things as good or bad. And this seems to help people calm down and participate more fully in the present moment. There's more to it than that. That's the super short version. Now ask yourself, why would that matter? Why would that be important to people? Think about your own experience of being upset. And I would say maybe especially think about being anxious, worrying about things. When people are emotionally upset or they're anxious, often they're not living in the present moment. Mm-hmm. Anxious people tend to be living in the future. What's going to happen next? And so they're not able to kind of be fully present in the here and the now, which can make things a lot worse. They're not fully functioning in the here and now. They're trying to do tomorrow, today, and so things are actually getting worse. Or people who are upset are meditating on the past. They just are consumed with things that have happened to them, feel like they can't stop thinking about them. Think about people who have been traumatized. They get stuck in the past. And so part of kind of regulating emotions is figuring out how to stay anchored into the present. And one of the things that typically will escalate people's emotions are the ways that they judge what they're feeling, right? So I'm anxious about what's going to happen tomorrow, and I feel stupid for worrying about it. I drive myself crazy with this worrying.
I feel guilty, and that's why I'm worrying.
Or I feel guilty, and I think about the stuff that happened to me in the past. Not only do I feel pain about what happened in the past, I feel stupid for letting it bother me so much. Now I feel like doubly victimized. Look what this person's done to me, and I'm stupid for letting them keep doing it to me. So there's that judgment feature to how we feel. So how I feel about how I feel can escalate my emotions. Now you might be able to begin to understand why mindfulness can be so helpful, because mindfulness tells me to focus what's happening in the present to participate in it by describing it and observing it, and to do it without judging myself.
Yeah.
So it kind of gets to those basic ways that, we can, emotions can kind of get away from us. Mm-hmm. Now, how do we think about that biblically? Well, the Bible's not going to use the word mindfulness. Well, it doesn't use the word mindfulness. But the Bible has all kinds of things to say about the way we regard our past, the way we regard our future, and how we need to stay focused in the present, and gives us good reasons for doing that.
Yeah.
I think it's more complicated than this, but if I wanted just like one passage of scripture to kind of tee off of, I think about Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus talks to us as worriers. And Jesus does some really important things there. One thing he does is he says, you need to be mindful, without using the word mindful, you need to be aware of God's love for you. In fact, you need to be aware of how God's love is, his providential love is protecting and keeping you at all times. In fact, why don't you just look around and notice the flowers? Why don't you just notice the birds? Can you notice that that God is caring for all of these creatures and these plants, and none of those details escape God's notice? Do you know that God's love for you is much more deep and profound than that? Do you know that you have more value than birds, you know, to God? And just assume, you know, God's going to meet these needs of yours. Here's what I would like you to think about. Think about the things of the kingdom and all that entails, right? That's a whole nother, you know, a whole nother discussion. But can you think about the things of the kingdom? Can you think about God's greater purposes for you and his love for you? And then Jesus comes right out and just says, and don't think about tomorrow. Just stay in the moment with me, because God's caring for you in this moment, and God's got stuff for you to do in this moment, and it's stuff that has to do with the kingdom, and nothing could be more important than that. So just stay in the here and the now with me, you know. And there you have mindfulness, but it's within a completely different world view, and mindfulness about really kind of completely different things in a sense.
Yeah.
But that's where I would kind of see if there's, you know, that's, to me, that's the touch point that I would use to kind of guide the way I try to interact with the mindfulness literature.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think Winston's laying out a premise for a lot of the ways we interact with different psychologies, which is when we look at them, oftentimes we can see how they've developed from biblical tenets of truth. Yeah. That Winston can start with that passage and say, here's Jesus basically helping us to be mindful of what's around us.
Yeah.
And then we can see how that has been developed, and that there's things that can be helpful in what people learn when they research mindfulness.
Yeah.
But we see it as being grounded ultimately in Scripture, in God's Word, and his definition of reality.
Yeah.
And I think what wigs people out is the folks, most of the folks who are kind of teaching mindfulness are self-consciously borrowing from Eastern traditions of meditation.
Yeah.
And so for most people, that's a kind of a huge red flag. I don't want to be involved
exactly.
in anything that's, you know, about another religion, Eastern or Western, whatever. Mm-hmm. If this is from another religion, I don't want to, you know, that's not going to touch it. And I think there's a lot of wisdom, right, in being careful about that.
Absolutely.
But the active ingredients in mindfulness have nothing to do with an Eastern worldview or mindset in particular. I think, you know, keep in mind that these are practices that they're sort of like common sense practices in a sense, but are packaged apart from a biblical worldview, and that's kind of the problem.
Yeah, it makes me think of 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. You know, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And then Paul says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweigh them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, for what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. But in the middle there, he puts what we're experiencing, and Paul, who's been shipwrecked and beaten and imprisoned, he says, for our light and momentary troubles. Mm. So he's placing us mindfully in the present, and he's saying, outwardly, we're all dying, but inwardly, we're becoming new.
Yeah.
And so through the Christian worldview, we're being mindful of what the true state of affairs mm-hmm. in our world mm-hmm. is, mm-hmm. not the false state of affairs that our minds want to tell us as we see decay, destruction, and just abuse around us. So many things mm-hmm. that try and tell us a different story than the gospel. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's really about it's about kind of a discipline of focus, and the mindfulness literature is trying to teach a skill. Do you learn how to focus? That's an important part of kind of regulating your emotions. And within a biblical worldview, we're saying, well, we're interested in a focus also, and it does require discipline. But it's kind of what are you keeping at the forefront of your mind? Mm-hmm. It's kind of the issue there.
Yeah.
Yes, and what you keep at the forefront of your mind is hugely impacting upon your emotions, your relationship, your goals, your work. Yeah. All of that is impacted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for coming in.
Thanks. Sure.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about CCEF and its resources, visit us on the web at ccef.org.